So just want to let you gals know that. And all right, I want you to go over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And I want you to look at verse 1 initially. 107th Psalm. The Bible says there, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." This morning I want to preach a message I've titled, "A Call to Thankfulness." A call to thankfulness. I want you to look at some other verses. Look at verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Look at verse 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Look at verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Look at verse 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Look at verse 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." See, do you think this psalm has a theme? Thankfulness and praise. And that's our theme this morning. Let's pray. Father, You have blessed us, and Lord, sometimes we get overwhelmed with how You bless us. We look at people around the world and we see those so far less fortunate. And we're amazed and just taken with the fact that You've blessed us. But Lord, we know that You've also blessed those in far off lands. Even the poorest out there has been blessed by You because You sent Your Son to die for us. That's the greatest blessing of all. We thank You. Father, this morning, just for a little while, we want to focus on this idea, this thought, of all that men would praise the Lord. This idea, this thought that you say in Your Word, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And might we be reminded today of Your manifold goodness and blessings, not just to American Christians, not just to Christians themselves, but to people all around this world. Now, Father, I pray that You'd use me to be a help, to be a blessing. And I pray again that if there's somebody here this morning that's never come to know Christ as their Savior, that need, they would recognize the need and they would be willing to open their heart to Him, be saved. It's the greatest blessing of all. So have Your way in these next few minutes, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A call to thankfulness. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Well, here we are again, just a few days from the Thanksgiving holiday. Here we are again to that fourth Thursday in November that's been declared a national holiday that we celebrate every year. And it was declared to be such a holiday in order that we might thank God for His blessings on our country and on us as individuals. Now, most of us are aware the Thanksgiving holiday in America has its roots in the colony of the Pilgrims up there in Massachusetts, where they landed in 1620. Most of us are familiar with the story, how they landed, and that first winter was devastating and they nearly starved to death. But God, in His grace and mercy to those folks, sent a man named Squanto. He was an Indian who had actually been taken to England and trained in England and came back to America and could speak to these people and help them. And He was the man who helped them and taught them how to plant their crops. He taught them how to hunt and fish and etc. and survive in many ways. And in the fall of that next year, we read how they gathered in the harvest, and the harvest was a plentiful one, and they were so thankful for what God had done in sending them this one to help them and then blessing their efforts, and now they had a good crop and food. They decided to hold a Thanksgiving feast, and their intent was to praise the Lord and to offer up prayers of thanksgiving. Now, this was, a day was chosen, and as we read, history tells us a great feast was held. The Indians came, joined them. And because of that, down through the years, the days of the Thanksgiving were set aside. Many different times, different states had different ideas, but there just seemed to be a thread of Thanksgiving being observed in America. And then, of course, in 1941, our federal government set aside the fourth Thursday of November as a day that all Americans ought to celebrate Thanksgiving. And again, the idea was to be thankful to God for what He's done. Now, very sadly, the Thanksgiving holiday has lost much of its original intent. America's going to celebrate the holiday, but relatively few are going to recognize this as a day to thank God for His blessings. Most folks are joining in the feasting. I wonder how many millions of turkeys have been sold. That's one individual don't appreciate Thanksgiving. All the trimmings, the supermarkets are just overwhelmed with people. This is one of the heaviest traveled holidays in the year. Thanksgiving. People going to be with family, feasting, revelry, football, parades, on and on we could go. All of it to our disgrace with no acknowledgement of the Lord for His blessings. Well, they may do that, the world may do that, but I don't want to do that. And I don't think we as believers ought to be that way. And this morning, I believe each of us must be thankful to God for His blessings on us. Listen, you might be sitting here and you're saying, well, preacher, you know, I'm not really being blessed much right now. I'm going through it. Listen, friend, I think by the time we're done, you're going to recognize just how blessed you really are. God sure has been good to us. The psalmist tells us that we ought to give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. So let's just spend a few minutes seeing some things that we really need to be thankful for. How about God's unmeasurable love? You ever thank God that He loves you? Huh? How many of you know God loves you? Sure. You know, even the unsaved know that little song, Jesus Loves Me. Many of them know that. You ever really think about the fact how blessed you are that God loves you? There's a song by Frederick Laymon, The Love of God. And I love to sing this song. He wrote, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." And then he wrote this. And this all, I mean, this just kind of grips me when I think about it. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, or could the scroll contain the whole? Though stretched from sky to sky. What a wonderful song. Just a thought. If every person was a scribe and every stem was a quill and the ocean was filled with ink, we could never write the love of God and complete it. I thought about this unmeasurable love of God. And I thought about how God loves every person in the world. God loves, you know, sometimes we get the idea God loves Americans. No, God loves every person in the world. And you know, sometimes we get a little prejudiced. We think maybe God just loves white people or black people or yellow people. Right? No. God loves everybody in the whole world. Sometimes people think, well, he only loves skinny people. I thank him every day. That's not true. Amen?
Amen.
The liberal soul shall be made fat. Anyway, listen, God loves the young people, the old people, the middle-aged people. God loves that Indian out in the jungles of South America or the people up in Mongolia. Brother Jeffcoat went to Mongolia one time and he was telling me, what a desolate place. But there's people up there that God loves. In the ghettos of our city, there are little children that God loves. There are down and outers in the rescue missions and in the gutters. And I was in New York City in the subway. I was sharing with Brother Julio. I said, do people really sleep on that cardboard in the subway? Yeah. God loves them. Listen, every person in the world, and here, we got to go here. God loves the most vile, wicked person in this world. You know those terrorists that caused all that havoc in France last week? God loves them. And he would have saved them if they would have come to him. This is hard for us to grasp. Adolf Hitler. God loved him. And would have saved him if he would have come to him. Vile and wicked. The prostitute, the whoremonger, the homosexual, the whatever we could name. God loves them. And God loves us. And we realize God loves every person, but understand this, God's love is undeserved. Though he loves every person, none of us deserve to be loved by God. We're sinners. We're all sinners. We're rebels against God. Romans 5:8 declares, but God commendeth his love towards us, demonstrates his love toward us. How did he do that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As undeserving as we are, God loves us enough to send his son to die for us. And let me tell you something, friend. He didn't just die for us, he died for you. For God so loved, put your name right there. Let's say that verse. When I say, for God so loved, when it comes to the world, I want you to put your name in there. We're going to say this verse. How many of you know the verse? Here we go. For God so loved Art Gilmore that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the fact. God loves every person in this world. And God loves you individually, as undeserving as we are. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. They're all gone out of the way. Dr. Hayes said, we're nothing but a bunch of animated dirt balls. Listen, friend, you might be the nicest person in the world, but that will not merit you the love of God. Nothing in us deserves to be loved by God. Well, then why are we loved by God? We are loved by God because God decided before the very foundation of the world, before he hung the stars out, before he created everything that we know, God made up his mind one day he was going to create man and he's going to love man. That's why he loves us. Nothing about us, nothing deserving, nothing meriting, nothing warranting, the love of God, it was solely a decision on God's part that He is going to love man. And so He loves us, even though we're a bunch of rebels. John tells us in 1 John that we love God. Why? Because He first loved us. And now, because of that love God has for us, God also, way back there, before the very foundations of the world, knew that man was going to sin and be separated from Him. And God said, I love man so much, I'm going to make a way for him to be back in fellowship with me. And God established the plan of salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and die on Calvary's cross and shed His blood for us, so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so that we could have eternal life. God did all that for us. God's unmeasurable love, and it's all because He chose to do it, and He chose to love us. God sent His Son. Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He went to that cross. He shed His blood. And now, because of what He did on Calvary's cross, anyone in this world who will come to Christ and open that door to their heart and invite Him into their heart and life, anyone who will say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior, anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord can have eternal life. I said earlier, sometimes we think God just loves Americans. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a missions conference, and we're going to see some missionaries come, and we're going to hear about some missionaries who have been to different places. And by the way, you ought to read their letters over there and see about missionaries in different places all around this world where God is saving people. Huh? He loves people, not that He's saving them. I like the fact that I read in John chapter 3. We recited John 3:16. Go over there for a minute. John 3:16, and so many people know that verse, but sadly they stop there. But let's go on to 17 and 18. I'd love to do that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now watch verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You got the picture? Hey, look up here. The whole world in their sin is under the condemnation of God. In other words, they're condemned to hell. That's a rough saying, isn't it? But it's true. Every man, woman, and child in this world, apart from God and the Lord Jesus Christ, is under the condemnation of God because of their sin, and that condemnation is condemned to hell. But in verse 18, look there. It says this. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, that condemnation is lifted when you get saved. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're saved today, the instant you got saved, the condemnation of God to condemn you to hell was lifted from you. And you don't deserve it. And neither do I. It's all because God loves us. Listen, we ought to be thankful for the love of God, and we ought to spend a little time once in a while thinking about the fact that God loves me as unlovable as I really am, and praise Him for it. So we thank God for His unmeasurable love. We ought to thank God for His patience and long-suffering. Anytime I get to preaching about patience, I get under conviction. You know why? I'm the same as you are. Impatient. Not long-suffering as I ought to be. Now, I'm working on it. And I think we've made a little progress. But I'm not where I need to be yet. But I'm thankful He is. Oh, what a patient and long-suffering God we have. Psalm 86, verse 15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Listen, God is gracious and long-suffering with mankind in general. I've shared with you before, I've had this thought. It would be a whole lot different if I was God. Any of you ever have that thought? Yeah? Yeah, there'd be a lot of crispy critters in the world. A lot of be opening up of the earth and swallowing people, you know? If I was God. But see, we have a God who's long-suffering and patient. Oh, I think about how long-suffering and gracious He really is in general. See, think about this. How many in this world really acknowledge truly who God is and what He is and how wonderful He is and come to Christ? Not many. I mean, we got 7 billion people in the world. How many out of those 7 billion know the Lord and worship the Lord like they should? Right? You with me? But think about all those others who don't. Think about the idol worshipers. The followers of false religions like the Buddhist or the Muslim or the Hindu or the Shinto, or how about the atheists of the world? These worship false gods or maybe deny that there's any God at all, and yet God lets them live. God lets them breathe His air and drink His water and eat His food. It'd be different if I was God. But see, we have a God who's patient and long-suffering. You ever think about this, and I get irritated with this, how about the ones who teach against God? The evolutionists. I wonder sometimes why God lets the evolutionists live. They're denying what God said in His Word. They're just calling them a liar. How about the Mormons and the JWs and these other religious organizations that lead people astray and condemn them to hell? How about the religious liberal scholars in our so-called Bible colleges are teaching false doctrines and all that kind of stuff? What about all that? Wouldn't be that way if I was God. But see, God's long-suffering. He lets them live. You say, why? I have no idea. I'm not God. I just know that He teaches us about His patience and long-suffering. God says He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. But see, when you get right down to it, we as believers need to thank God for His patience and long-suffering because we fail Him too. Huh? Any perfect Christians in here this morning? If you're the perfect Christian, raise your hand. Thank you, honey. Anybody else? Yeah. I'm serious. We know we're not perfect. We know we fail God so often. We know we disappoint Him. We know sometimes we rebel against Him. But He's patient. And He's long-suffering. And He works with us. And He chastens us and tries to bring us where we need to be and mold and shape us. Listen, He's a God of grace. You know, I came up, and don't get offended, I was raised Roman Catholic. My idea of God when I was a kid was there was this big ogre up in heaven who's watching. And if I do something bad, He's going to zap me. Just the idea I had. But when I got saved, I learned that's not true. I have a loving Father now who loves me. And when I do things I shouldn't do or I'm not what He wants me to be, He doesn't zap me. He chastens me. Well, what's the difference? Chastening is corrective discipline. It's out of love. He does what needs to be done to help me. That's the kind of God we have. We ought to thank Him for it. He's a God of grace. That's why we can go to heaven. And once again, Jeremiah says His mercies are renewed every day over in Lamentations. But there's a third thing we need to be thankful for, and that's God's abundant provision. Oh, we know all about this, don't we? We sit down at the Thanksgiving table, and we're thankful for all the food and all the blessings, all the material things, and family and friends and all those kind of things that God's given us. And it ought to be. And you know, I thought about this. God has really blessed our country. I worry about America. Do you? I'm concerned. I don't know how much longer we're going to be here if we keep turning our back on God like we have. Now, we as Americans have the most freedom of any people in the world. You know, we have the freedom to do what we want, be what we want, go where we want, buy what we want. We have that freedom. We can, listen, if you decided this morning you want to go to California, if you had the money for gas and everything and a car, you could go out there, get in your car and go to California. You don't have to ask anybody. You know, there's a lot of places you could never do that. You have to have permission. You can be whatever you want to be. If you decide you want to change occupations, or one of you young people decide, you know, I want to be a brain surgeon, that would be a good thing. But you decide this is what I want to do with my life. You can do it in America. Have that freedom. There's a lot of countries, they tell you what you're going to do and what you're going to be. How many times are we thankful for that? How often do we think about that? Oh, we have so many freedoms. And by the way, I'm concerned we're losing some of our freedoms. Huh? Well, but we take them for granted. Not just our freedoms, but the bounty we live in. The most affluent country. We eat better than any country in the world, I would imagine. Back when I was a kid, back in the dark ages, they used to tell us other countries in the world could eat out of America's garbage cans. I think that's still true. And you know, we thank God for our food, and that's a good thing. But I was preaching to the men's retreat, and I was talking about eating and the fact God's blessed us. And we've all eaten. Well, most of you have eaten today. If you didn't, you will. How do you know? I'm looking at you. It's obvious you're eating pretty regular. But how about places in this world where people don't know where their next meal's coming from? Where people go to bed hungry and get up hungry and spend another day hungry? Where people have to scrounge. See, we don't think about that. How about places where, you know, we want to buy something, we go down to Giant store, and not only do we have a choice, we have a dozen choices. I want to buy a can of baked beans. Okay, I got 12 different cans of baked beans I can buy. I want to buy a steak. I go over to the butcher department, there's 12 different steaks. Which one do you want? How about places where you go in the store, and there may not be one of the item you're looking for. See, we're blessed. And we never think about it. We're blessed in our freedoms. We're blessed with our bounty. Almost every human at home in America has at least one television, has running water, indoor plumbing, a refrigerator, a stove, and on microwaves, who knows how many phones, and we could go on and on with. We own more clothes than we'll ever wear. See, we get up, we have to decide, which clothes am I going to wear? How many people in the world get up and they don't have to decide because they only have one set of clothes? Oh, nobody's like that in the world. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most families own an automobile. Most families own more than one. And think about our houses, the beautiful homes we live in, wall-to-wall carpeting and heat and air conditioning, and there's people in the world living in grass huts with dirt floors. How often do we think about that? But see, I want you to understand this. We need to be thankful for all those things, but most of all, we need to be thankful that it's only by the grace of God you get to live here. Most of us, not all of us, most of us were born in America. I didn't have anything to do with that. My parents were American, and, you know, they were here, and they got married, and they started having kids, and now I'm born in America. I didn't ask for that. I didn't request that. I'm thankful. But most of you didn't do anything to be born in America either. It's only by God's grace. And by the way, if you weren't born American and you're here, you're only here by God's grace, letting you come to such a wonderful country. By the way, there's something else. God's abundant provision. I'm going to insert one here because it really got my heart yesterday. We need to thank God for our health. You say, well, man, I'm struggling. I can identify. Got some health issues myself. But you know, every day I thank Him for my health. Every day I can get out of bed, I thank Him I can get out of bed. Every day I can go and do, I thank Him that I can go and do. Every day when I think I'm halfway in my right mind, I thank Him. I'm serious. I don't have dementia. I don't have Alzheimer's. I can still think. And I thank Him for all that. And, you know, at the men's retreat, they were talking about, you know, some preachers who are having a tough time. Brother Barber mentioned it, that I'd had some health issues. And it's been 4 years. You know, in and out, up and down, back and forth. And then, of course, we... Listen, don't ever try to cut your nails with a lawnmower. And then we got this. And somebody said, well, you know, aren't you frustrated here, aggravated, you know, mad at God? No, no, no. No, I thank God it wasn't worse. Could have been four fingers. When's the last time you thank God for your health? Think about it. See, when I think about this, I think about people who have it a whole lot worse than I do. And it came home to me at the men's retreat. There's a fellow from Brother Nemo's church who has cancer. He has the aggressive form. Now, there's a couple of different forms of prostate cancer. Most of them can be treated. He has the aggressive one that... And they told him he has a year to live. I can't imagine. To think... I have 1 year to accomplish everything I want to accomplish and to spend with my family. And I don't know about you, but that makes me thank God for my health. I got aches and pains. Thank God they're not worse. I think about this often. There are people in this world who'd give anything to trade places with me and my issues. How about you? Hey, we ought to be thankful for God's abundant provision, and we ought to be thankful for our good health. And then, I know this, we ought to be thankful for God's written revelation. Do you love your Bible? I know, hey, knee-jerk reaction. Well, of course. I'm serious now. Do you really love your Bible? Is it really precious to you? It ought to be. Listen, God has given us the revelation of Himself in writing. You know what that means? Listen, if God would have just let us get His revelation handed down vocally from person to person over the thousands of years, do you realize how perverted it would be? Have you ever been to a party where they start that game and they line people up and this person tells the person next to them something, they tell the next person, and then it gets all the way over here and you say, okay, what did that person tell? And it's so perverted you can't even tell what they told. Well, that's how it'd be with God's revelation, but God, in His love and His grace and His mercy, had it written down so it don't change. By the way, if you don't have the good old King James Bible, you got the wrong one, because yours keeps changing. You know, I figured out a long time ago, I got a God who's big enough to write down what He wants written down and keep it written down. I'm sick to death of these pea-brain professors who try to correct God. Who do you think you are? Tell God what He meant. Or that God made a mistake. God don't make no mistakes. His pencil don't have an eraser. And He's given us His written revelation. And I want you to know, I'm thankful that I have His book that I can go to. I have His book where I can find strength and courage and leadership and direction and all that He's given me in His Word. I don't understand Christians who don't want to read the Bible. That's foreign to me. Do you realize that book is God's love letter to you? If you want to know how much God loves you and you want to know anything about God, where are you going to find it? Right there. And then, as I said, it's a guide to our lives, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and on we could go about what this book means to us. When's the last time you thank God for your Bible? You know, we're living in a world of changes. If you're my age, you know that. Man, we're in a totally different world than I grew up in. And things keep changing. Why? I remember a few years ago, they came out with cell phones. My father-in-law had one. It was a big old case that you had to carry. And then you had to plug it in, you know, his car power source there. And then you had to be in a special place where you could get a signal. And then, boy, they refined that. They came along with these little handheld phones. You know, you could call and get calls. Remember those? Even flip phones. Remember those? Then it came along with the iPhone, you know, the Apple iPhone, and it came along 4S and the 5S and the 6S, and we keep going, and things keep changing. Huh? First computer I ever worked on was bigger than this piano. I'm serious. I was in technical school, I was learning how to use a computer, and you had to feed it with cards. You had to key punch the cards and put them in there. Take a stack of cards this high to do one little program. Now, that one sitting on my desk, well, I'll do even what the astronauts took in their first space flights. Things are changing. That book never changes. Huh? The truth of God never changes. Listen, I wonder about, you know, how are things going to be tomorrow, the next year? Cars keep changing. Good night. Now we got electric cars. I don't know about you. I don't want an electric car. Man, I like that old gasoline thing. Fires it up, you can hear it run. Huh? One of the complaints about the electric cars, you can't hear it. You don't know it's running. No, I like to make a little bit of noise. I don't like a lot of noise, a little bit of noise. Huh? I like my gauge to tell me, you know, I don't want to have to plug in. Just not into electric cars. But they're coming down the road. Things are changing. This never changes. Jesus never changes. Same yesterday, today, forever. One more thing. We ought to be thankful that God will hear our prayers. Listen, I can't spend a lot of time on this, but just the thought, now watch this, just the thought that the Almighty God who spoke and put the stars in space, who spoke and made this old earth that I live on, who put the planets in the perfect orbit, who created every animal out there in the ecological system that keeps it all functioning perfectly. The same God who talked to Moses and Abraham and Gideon, and David, Daniel, Paul. I could go on and on. The same God who did all those mighty things, when I pray, will listen to me. I don't understand Christians who don't want to pray. Have you ever considered who you're talking to when you pray? Have you ever considered who am I that He would listen to me? Listen, sometimes we can't get our mate to listen to us. Huh, fellas? She says, you haven't heard a word I said. I heard every word. I just wasn't paying attention. But listen, we have a God who will hear us. Little old me. 7 billion people in the world today. And I can go to prayer, and I can call to my Father, and He will listen to me. You say, how's He do that? There's other people praying at the same time. Hey, when you get to heaven, you ask Him how He did it. But He promised me that if I'll call upon Him, He'll hear my prayers. And I'm so very thankful I can pray. You know, sometimes the only avenue is prayer. Sometimes the only relief is prayer. Sometimes the only answer is prayer. And I have one who sits in the heavens who said, child, you can come to me and ask what you will, and I'll hear your prayer. We take that for granted. But friend, I'm serious. We really need to be thankful that we have this avenue of prayer available. Got to stop for now, but listen, it's Thanksgiving. And I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I do. It's one of my favorite holidays. I love Thanksgiving. I just love the colors. I love the season. I just love everything about it. I love turkey. But see, I learned a long time ago, it's not all about all that. Real Thanksgiving is thankfulness to Him. And we have so much to be thankful for. Not just the food on our table, not just the car in our garage. We're thankful for those things, but there's so much more. Just stop and dwell on a little while this week. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God speak in your heart today. Listen, are you a thankful Christian? I mean, really thankful. Have you pondered some of the things that we've talked about and thank God for them? Have you thanked Him for this avenue of prayer? Thanked Him for His Word? Thanked Him for His love? Thanked Him for His long suffering and patience with you? Have you really been a thankful person? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask this. If you believe you've really been a thankful person like you ought to be, And you could testify before God, Father, I really believe I'm a thankful person like I ought to be. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. You're thankful like you ought to be. That's good. That's good. Now, you couldn't raise your hand. You said, oh my, I've failed. I've not been what I need to be in this area of thankfulness. Oh, I've been thankful for the food and all that, but really, I have not really, really, really considered being truly thankful for God's blessings. And today, God's burden in my heart that I need to get thankful. I need to start practicing being a thankful Christian. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God convicted me today. I have failed in some areas of my life to be the thankful one I need to be. He's been good to me in so many areas, and I have not thanked Him like I ought to. More than turkey and more than things and food on my table and clothes. More than that. I want to be a thankful Christian. Here's my hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Put it down. Now, one more thing. Are you saved? Listen, the greatest thing that can ever happen in your life is for you to come to Christ and know Him as your Savior. I wonder if there's somebody or some folks in this room that say, preacher, right now, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to know. I want Jesus in my heart. I want to know heaven's my home. I need somebody to help me. We'd be willing to help you to see and know how to be saved today. If that's your situation, would you just slip your hand up, preacher? That's me. I need to get saved today. I don't know I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to know. Here's my hand. Let's stand together. 294. What a memory. 294. In your song.